In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. It's out of the mercy and compassion of the Lord and the Holy Church that when you look at the entire span of readings this month of Fatur that precedes the Advent time, you get a complete picture of what it is that we do to prepare for the coming of the Lord. What I have in mind is that the first couple of weeks of the month of Fatur spoke to us about the parable of the sower, the word of God that comes and falls by the pure activity of the sower, that is God Himself, God the Father, sending His Son. And it falls on different soils, and depending on the nature of that soil, it may bear fruit or it may not. But if you just hear that parable by itself in isolation, and if you don't take the entirety of the gospel messages that the church prepares for us, again, out of mercy and compassion in our souls, you may very likely get an uneven message. It may seem that we are simply passive recipients of God's word, or passive recipients of the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we have no part to play here on our own. But the last week and this week serve to complete this image for us, to complete this lesson for us, and to show us how it is not to be passive soils per se, but to grasp for eternal life with all that we have of power and diligence and proactivity towards receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have here the example of this Pharisee, this young man who met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he asked him, "What do I do, or what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" A very direct question, and one that we often ourselves don't ask in our spiritual lives. We go through the motions, we go through the routines, and we're not exactly wondering and we're not exactly asking these difficult questions. What is it that I personally, today and tomorrow and every moment, can do that I may have a share in eternal life? So he asked him a very good question. And that's why it says the Lord loved him. He was a Pharisee, and he knew very well the commandments of Moses, the law and the prophets. He was very well studied in this. That's what Pharisees are. They are the equivalent of scholars today, theologians. Those who can speak and write and teach about all matters of the law. And that's what this person was, a Pharisee. And so he thought to himself, you asked me about the commandments, that's my area, that's my specialty. I have a PhD in commandments. I know all of them. And he recited a few of the very important ones. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness. And he said, all these I have observed from my youth, not just knew, not just understood and heard about and can teach about, but observed, lived them. So then what's the problem? The problem is that this Jewish person, this Pharisee, was rich in his own tradition, rich in his own understanding of being good. He thought himself he was too good. I'm perfect. I got it all. I got everything, and I just want to know now, am I clear? Do I have a clear path now that I have all these commandments learned, lived, observed, and so forth towards the eternal life, according to this new and young, preacher that is Jesus Christ? His possession, if you will, his richness was being an observant and traditional Jewish person. And that is what this is all about. Our possessions can vary. Our possessions can be either money or education or career or a particular family or anything that gives us a sense of security, a sense that we have succeeded in life and that we have done all that we can to be ahead of the pack, as it were. Or even our own orthodoxy at times. We take pride in our traditions and our fasts and our prayers and our long services, and we come to church and we feel a sense of satisfaction. I've done all that the Lord asks me to do, didn't I? But no. And the Lord comes to him and says, sell all what you have everything that you've got, you have to be willing to give up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you might ask yourself today, you know, I don't commit adultery. I'm not a murderer. I didn't steal anything as far as I'm aware. Yes, you didn't murder anyone physically, but you could very well have hurt someone by your words. And that is a form of murder, killing a relationship with someone else. Yes, you didn't commit adultery in the physical sense, in the carnal sense, but what about all the times that we run after whatever temptations come our way and away from the Lord, our bridegroom? Isn't that adultery? Yes, you didn't steal physical objects or money, but how many times do we steal time away from our own souls, time that we can dedicate to our own salvation? And that is a form of theft, spiritual theft. Because you see, today is about going beyond these basics. And what else do we need to do to prepare ourselves for the reception, the receipt of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We have to be willing to go above these basic commandments in order to truly prepare ourselves. Why? Because St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, I think, he says, bringing every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ. Every single thought. Think about it. Why? Because in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord says, for every idle word that men may speak, they will give an account on the day of judgment. Every idle word. You see, because the problem is that our own vocation as human beings, God created us to bless Him, to thank Him, to be His royal priesthood in this life, in this world. Not for our own sakes, not for us to feel vaunted and kind of proud of our position as Christians or as Orthodox Christians especially, but because we're ambassadors for the whole world. We pray and we intercede on behalf of all humans and even the entire universe, if your heart is big enough to do so. And whenever we every time, any thought that we have, any moment that we spend that is not spent in dedication to this cause, to this goal, to this reason for existence that we have, is something that is not productive, not bringing us closer to the kingdom of heaven. And that is part of what this message was today to this young Pharisee. Yes, you've observed all these commandments, all the big things, and you might think that you are set on your way to the eternal life, and you just want a stamp of approval from the Lord. But how many other things are you not aware of? We often are very good at behaving as Christians in church. We come to church. Some of us come at 8, some of us come a little bit later, but in the end of the day, we're all in church here, and we're all partakers of the holy body and precious blood, and we all come to, you know, send our kids to Sunday school and participate in all the activities of our parish. That's all beautiful, and that's all great. But what about our life when it's not here? We often run very quickly to, you know, the flood of dissipation of this world when we are out with the world. And we are very quick to behave just like anybody else in the rest of the world when we're not in these confinements of Christian behavior that parish life forces upon us in a way, this kind of social contract that when you come here, you behave a certain way, you dress a certain way, you speak a certain way, and we all know how to do that game very well. But there's another game that's much harder, and that is outside in the world, and that is what this is about. This is where kind of the last frontier of our souls, where we have to go and clean up much, much more. Anyone that starts to clean up for Christmas knows kind of the basic things they have to do. They gotta vacuum the carpet maybe, they gotta wipe the counters. It's very easy stuff. But there are often these corners that we wanna forget about, or we choose not to think about because thinking about them and pursuing them will require a lot more effort than usual. And right now, you know, in the very final week of the month of Hathor, as we prepare to enter into this Advent season, this is what this is about, preparing more and more and finding, going and pursuing the very last corners of our soul, emptying it, impoverishing ourselves, so it seems, but why? in order to gain this greatest gift. And that is the promise of this gospel today. That yes, you leave father and mother and wife and children and land and all of these things, not because we don't love all of these persons in our lives, but this is how much we have to be willing to go in order to be with our one and only bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reward, as it's clear, is from the very beginning, eternal life itself. Or, as St. Peter said in the epistle we read earlier, to be partakers of divine nature. In the end, it's not going to work unless unless you buy in and agree about the greatness of the gift that you're trying to receive. And as big the gift is, the more your hands have to be empty. The more your soul has to be emptied of all that is standing in between you and that gift. But you'd first have to believe and understand and accept just how great this gift is that you are preparing for. Not just the gift of Christmas, not just the gift of the season, or maybe, the gift of good times with your family, but the gift of our Lord and Savior coming in the flesh, condescending to humanity, emptying himself and taking the form of a servant. And for this, we too try to find every last thought and bring it to subjection to Christ. Every last aspect of my life, every last thing that I do, directed towards that one goal, so that we can truly be Christ's royal priesthood, his sons and daughters in Christ, children of the kingdom, priests, all of us, his royal priesthood of the church, to receive him. And just as he came and emptied himself and became like us, we too then empty ourselves so that we can be filled with him. To him be glory now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen.